Hey guys, thank you so much for stopping by Legend Church's weekly podcast. Just a quick reminder, you can check us out at legendchurch.com, find us on Facebook and Instagram, and Sunday mornings in Madisonville. But hey, without further ado, set the cruise control, start Matt Marun, or grab a drink, and let's talk about all things Jesus.
Started now. It is still weird to see people's faces. I was like, Fievel, he was here, but he's gone now. I love Fievel. He's like the best. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. I was sitting out there with my friend Eric, and this guy who was coming to look at the like shrubs to do stuff. Came up to the table when he stepped right past me and looked at Eric and was like, hey, you must be the pastor here. And he was like, no. And I was like, yeah, say. And then this morning, I pulled up around like 5:55 and there was a couple walking and I got out of my Jeep and they were like, hey, who's the pastor of this church? And I was like, oh, I'm one of them. And they were like, okay. And they just kept walking. And I was like, this is very on brand for who we are, what we're doing. And we've done a lot of work to just try to make this feel as legend as possible, but also the idea there's something new, and everyone's been texting me for 3 weeks, like, hey, it doesn't have to be perfect on day one, but I wanted it perfect for you guys, because you guys have been on this journey with us, and it's not like, I keep saying we haven't arrived anywhere, we're just in a building, but I wanted it perfect for all of you, because I love everyone here, and I'm not going to cry anymore. Let's talk about other things. Anyways, blah, blah, blah. Just thank you, that's it. Let's move on. First order of business, though. I don't know if you guys know the full story of how we are even here, but it's a story of prayer, and not from us. Not from us. Mary Beth right now is in heaven being like, yeah, it's not from you guys. I'm listening. But it's from a people of prayer known as Eastminster Presbyterian Church. They are a people of prayer, and since 1879... people have been meeting, praying, serving in this space, and that legacy of prayer didn't stop as it still exists today. And this is Cheryl's words, not mine. She was talking to somebody this week. She's like, we just listened to what God wanted us to do. They didn't like handpick us. They weren't like, yeah, you guys. It was God. So, hey, FYI legend, God likes us, I think. She said, we just listened to what God wanted us to do. We just listened, and God led them to us, and they've done this very amazing thing for us. If you guys don't mind, or if you're able, if you want to, if you're EPC, could you just stand for a second? Beyond generous, throughout this entire process, these faithful few who you just saw have been nothing but gracious and patient, following God where God's taking them, and not just because to let us use a building, but to join in our community. It's a big part of that. And so please, if you saw anyone today and you don't know them today or over the next couple weeks, go say hi. Because they're part of our community now, and that's a big deal. That's what we do best, I think. And whether they want to or not, they have to be part of our community. So they may be like, this is a mistake later. Like, Judy's going to be like, I liked kids, but now it's a lot. It's a mess. Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you and honor you for everything you've done, a lifetime of legacy that you are letting us in on, that we get to have a space. And it's not just about, Jason and I have been in contact with people who are like, oh, I think now that you have a space, we'll come. And I'm like, really? Like, we're doing all right before. But there is something about space. There is something about what we can do. But today, I don't want to talk about the future of what we possibly could do to impact a neighborhood, to impact or to just be better in community. That's good. I just sort of want to just brag on a couple things, and then we can be done. But I do want to mention Cheryl. Cheryl's over here in the green, shaking her head no. She has been a trooper for us, like for a year now. She has been on the side of legend, people that she didn't even know that well. Somehow she met Jason and I, and we're like, yeah, these guys. Jason's very Presbyterian, that helps. But you've been awesome, and you believed in us, and it means a lot. And every time I listen to you talk about our church, and she's like, no, I don't believe in you. It's God I believe in. That is actually, she's saying that right now. She's like, seriously, it's not you. But man, you put all your chips in our spot. That was a casino reference just for you. But anyways, thank you for believing us. And then also, really quick, and then we can get on to regular things. Paul, I know you also don't want anyone to point you out, but Paul Sievers from our church, I don't know if you guys have known, but for the last like 5 or 6 months has been here preaching, encouraging and loving this community. And probably doing a lot of groundwork. Hey, guys, they're not that bad. Hey, guys, it's not going to be as bad as they think. Or maybe the opposite. I don't know. There was a time where, like, Paul's going to start a coup, start his own thing, but which would have been awesome, but he didn't. But thank you so much for that, man. It was, I don't have the words for what you did and how you helped us out. And Jason has said it the entire time. The hope for us is that when Jason's well past retired and I'm still old and working here because I have to, that we are you, that we follow your example, that, man, we are old and we get to pass it on to the next generation or the next church or the next whatever, that legacy and what you guys, your faith, that we follow that and we learn from that and continue to. So that's the hope here. So let's move on. All right. But thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. We've been doing this baggage series, and Stephanie's always talking to her friends about it. She's like, oh, I love this sermon series. Just kidding. No one cares about her sermon series. But actually, last night, some lady was, we were with dinner with someone, and she was like, how do you pick what you're going to talk about? Do you go through, like, the church calendar? I was like, I know. We just, whatever. I don't know. I don't even know the word. We just make it up. But we're going to take I'll try to tie it in a cheesy way at the end, but we're going to take a break from that for a second. We've been talking about baggage that we carry, spiritual church, things like that. And I just want to talk about us for a minute. When I first got into ministry in 2001, that was when I took my first church job. My wife, who had not been, didn't grow up in the church, she became a Christian as a teenager. We started working at a church. And it was pretty typical church. And she saw a lot of what we talk about in our baggage series, just churches can really chew people up and spit them out. A lot of us know that story. But she looks at me and she says, if I had known church was like this, I would have never joined up. I would have never joined up. And she was real serious. If I would have known this is what church was going to be like. Because it was just that thing. And that I have always remembered that. And from that day, I was like, okay, I want to be a part of something that's not going to give her that. I want to be a part of something that's not going to hurt people and chew people up, because I don't know why churches do that, but that's not what I want to do and that's not what I want to build. And we went from kind of a different colored church experiences until we came, and I love you. I see people's faces, I can't. That was for Jason. And we started this, and we've never had that experience here. Of all the things we've gone through and all the goods, we don't do everything perfect. We don't do everything right. But I've never been that for me or my family, and I hope for other people that, man, this is a place that if I had known it was like that, I would have never signed up for it. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know if you've been seeing, but on Instagram, for the last couple of weeks, I've been posting pictures of the wall of pastors, these guys from like the 1800s who are probably rolling over in their graves that we're here now, and just who they were. And one of our elders in the back there kindly reminded me this week that it's not about Jason or I. It's not about actually those guys. It's actually about everyone who's here, who's a part of these churches, who's filled these pews, who has served, who has prayed, who has been a part. That is what, that's what the church is. That's what builds it. That's what we're a part of. That it's not something that Jason and I came up with or did or do well. It's you guys. And when they experience legend, when someone prays for legend, when someone walks in, it is us as a community who are just trying our best to follow God, to learn more, to encourage and to love. And I'm so glad that we are who we are, that we get to take whatever we have and wherever we've been going and go a little step further. Whenever people sort of ask me about legend, when they find out that I'm a pastor, I was at a poker game this past week, and it just didn't seem like there were, actually, I was winning a lot. I don't usually ever play poker, and I don't know how to lie, so I never lie, I never bluff. I just was like, well, this is the cards, and I kept winning. I won all of it with these guys, and I didn't know any of them. Somebody invited me, and so I was like, I'm not going to tell them I'm a pastor, because then they're going to get mad at God for giving me all these good cards. So I did, and I really thought that. I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. And so, but whenever someone does ask, somebody will find out, well, what do you do? And I'll say, oh, I'm a pastor of a church. And they'll be like, oh, maybe we'll come to your church. My first answer is usually like, you might not like it. You might not like it. I was like, have you heard of that Crossroads? That one seems like it's doing well. Dude, that one might do you a little better. I don't know. But jokes aside, this is the best thing I've ever been a part of, because of everyone here. The best thing I've ever been a part of. For every single one of you who called this place yours, we don't have membership or anything like that. You're just here. We're stronger and better because you are here. I guess we should probably talk about the Bible or something. That's usually what happens up here. I thought, since I got lucky enough to be first sermon in the new thing, that I would just tell my favorite Bible story. It's the best story, I think, that exists in the Bible, and I don't think it means anything, because I've never read anyone who commented on it. I've never read a comment. Like, if you read the commentaries, it skips to this part about Peter and Jesus. It skips. No one talks about it, so I'm pretty sure, from a scholarly sense, it's insignificant, but I love it. It's my favorite story. I'm not sure if you've heard it before, because I tell it all the time, but there was a time Jesus has died in the story, and the disciples have gone back to just whatever. They are like, well, our dude's dead, so I'm going to go, we're going to go become fishermen again. So they're fishing, they're back to their jobs, their sort of movement in their mind is over. But then we get, and this is in the Gospel of John, we get these like pop-up appearances of Jesus where he's like, okay, hey guys, I'm back, I'm not dead, this is what we're doing, blah, 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 blah. And there's one time in John, it's only in John, it's not any other story, where they're fishing, the dudes are out fishing, and they look and they see on the shore, they see Jesus. You know, oh man, it's Jesus, let's go see him. And they row in, and Jesus is there, and he has a fire built, and he has fish cooking on it. And I like to really think about this scene a lot, like, did Jesus, like, go catch these fish? Did he, like, go buy them? Was he, like, because he's, like, right? Because he's resurrected. He's like, I guess I need some fish. And does he gut them? Like, I like to picture him kind of bloody and gross because he's gutted these fish, and he's cleaned them, and he's scaled them, and he's made fish. And he only says one thing. In the Bible, the quote is, come and have breakfast with me. Come and have breakfast with me. And they sit and they eat breakfast. That's the scene. The whole entire scene. It's not, and you would think, like, okay, if I'm writing this down and Jesus has come back to the disciples, he would be like, okay, make sure you do this. Guys, make sure you're not doing this. Hey, I'm getting ready to go and I'm not coming back, so make sure you're not doing these things. Make sure you have this stuff. Make sure you're following this role. None of that. He just says, come and eat breakfast. And they have breakfast. And I love this scene. I think in my head, there is so much power behind it, so much about being present, so much about that this is important. So here's Jesus post-death, sort of representing new life, something different. And in new life, breakfast is still important. In something else, eating with people, sitting down, having food is still important. Things that we think are monotonous or things that we normalize are still important. And I hope for those guys, after that, breakfast was never normalized again. We only have the moment. We only have the present. I think this whole story is about being present It's not about for us here. We only have this. This is it. This is where we are. If you are here today, you are part of who we are, even if you never come back. This is it. We don't have next week. We don't have last week. This is all we have. And I hope this is never normalized. I hope that we never get to a point where we are, this is who we are now. This is where it's set. That we are moving and growing and listening and learning, and that we never normalize that we get to come together and we get to sing songs and we get to see each other's faces and we get to talk about the Bible and we get to have coffee and we get to let kids run around. This is an important moment and it matters. I think John was doing in with this scene is that breakfast matters here. Fish matter. The things that we go through, it all matters. This room, this building, this moment, it matters. And then, I hate to use this word, but I can't think of another word because it's sort of a churchy word, but blessed. As a word that sort of just came to me this week. I was like, oh, what is this? And I was like, oh, we're really blessed to be here. And not just there, God blessed us in 2006 or 5 when I first met Jason. Like, we became friends. That was a blessed moment. I didn't know that he was going to be my other life partner. He is my other life partner. I have two, and Jason's one. It's true. 2008... when there started to be a whisper of something like, hey, should we like start this church thing together? God bless that moment. When people started to actually come and be a part of it, person by person, family by family, child by child, brother and sister, all together coming, and people gave time and they gave money and they gave resources to be a part. It all mattered and it was blessed. God has always given me another job to help sustain for my family. And every time he does, it's I always feel like I'm being blessed. As we moved from a house to the old CRC building, which was gross, Jason's always like, it's not that gross, but the bathrooms were really gross, like really gross. Like they were supposed to be white, not brown. And that's gross. I can't even believe I made that joke. That's gross. They were gross, but we lasted there for like almost 10 years. And then we moved to Artsville, and that was weird. And God blessed us with that movement. At first it was weird. And we dialed in who we are there, and we dialed in a lot of things there. And now we're blessed to make the next move into here. In all the conversations and all the prayer that EPC has done, that brought us here, everything, every person who's ever walked in, it all matters. Just like breakfast, just like fish, it all matters. And it's all brought us to here and where we're going. And it's always been our goal, our mission, which we don't talk about very much, but our mission's always been to break down barriers that the world has created that keep people from knowing that there is a divine loving God that is recklessly pursuing them and wants to be involved in their life. And the world builds up all these barriers, and our only goal is to knock them down. We've always said that we fly one flag, we fly one banner, and that's Jesus, right? That's it. Those are the things. Everything else is questionable. Everything else. Those are the things that matter to us, and I hope that we can be that here, and we can move and take that movement and just keep seeing what God's doing, that things aren't normalized, that we are faithful, that we pray, we hear, our kids are taken care of, and we can just, I don't know where it is. We are not, me and Jason have never been visionaries. We've only been present people, which I love about us. So I don't know where it's going. I don't know where it ends. But to tie it into the series, I hope we don't become a place that's adding baggage to people in their spiritual life. I hope we don't become a place where they drive past that building and be like, that's it, that's where it stopped because of what we've done. So my prayer will be that God continues to open our hearts, open our minds, open our creativity as we get to use this awesome resource. I'm going to pray in a second, and we're going to do our communion. So this is going to be weird because I have no idea how this will work out. In my head, we have two aisles. I know this is so technical for, there's two spaces here. So in my head, everyone comes this way down these aisles. If you're in the middle, you get to choose left or right. It's free spirit world here. And you do your thing, and then you go around the back. That is how I think it should work. But we're adults. I think we can figure this out on our own. But I don't know. These are things, the biggest conversation between all of what we did. It wasn't ripping up carpet and putting floors. It was, where's coffee and how's communion work? Those were the two. Everyone had a big opinion. And this rug. This rug was a nightmare. Sorry. There's a rug here. These are the things that mattered. But as you come up this morning, maybe we have our own process of how we, what we think about the bread and we dip in the juice, or if we grab the to-go thing. Maybe we do our own thing with Jesus and his sacrifice and who he is. But I'm going to think about it this morning as I'm having breakfast with the risen Christ. And that matters. This moment matters. Everything else is secondary to this moment. So be present, be in the moment. Let's not normalize all of this space and who we are as a church. I'm gonna pray. Band's gonna start singing and you guys line up. God, thank you so much for the blessing. They all flow from you. Be with us as we are now good stewards of a new thing. That we are good stewards of a physical space, that we do right by the community, that we do right by each other, that we are, this building becomes a place of light and of love and of encouragement and growth and all the things it should be. Be with us as we are just a ragtag few who are trying our hardest to be who you want us to be. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, we pray all the things. Amen.